I got to lose a little weight so I can get into my preaching clothes. But, you know, it has been a little while, so I like to put a little disclaimer out there for people that haven't heard me preaching. Sometimes, you know, I grew up in the ghetto, and I learned something in the ghetto that the best way to win a fight in the ghetto was to hit somebody when they weren't ready. The old sucker punch. And some of that, it goes over into my preaching too, so that, you know, I might tell a funny story or this and that, but I might hit you with a low blow when you're not looking. So if, you know, if you're easily offended, keep your guard up. You know, we're going to work through a few things today, and hopefully God does something with us. Amen? Let's just open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we look to you. Lord, our whole lives, we always look to you, Lord. We want your guidance within our life, Lord. We want your path to be directed for us, Lord. If it's not from you, Lord, let us turn aside from it, Lord, and let just strengthen us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, today I would like to talk a little bit about a phrase that I heard growing up probably every day, and I haven't heard it for a long time. You know, phrases, they kind of come and go with different generations, don't they? You know, I'm a Generation X guy. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was extreme. That was our phrase. Man, you could put extreme and sell anything. Extreme Mountain Dew and this extreme T-shirt or these extreme Cheetos. Everything was extreme. You know, I'm like, how do you have an extreme T-shirt? It's a T-shirt. You know, and you don't hear that anymore. The next millennials, you know, they don't have anything extreme about them. It's 200 words or less or a 30-second TikTok video, and that's all their attention can hold. So there's nothing extreme about it. You know, my Generation X phrase has gone away. But one that I heard all the time growing up was, you know, being born again. How many have heard that phrase? I mean, that was nonstop. There was songs about born again. There was every time, I'm a born-again Christian, born-again, I mean, that phrase was over and over and over and over and over again, and I don't hear it anymore. I don't hardly ever hear somebody use that phrase, being born again, anymore. And today I kind of want to break down a little bit of what it means to be born again. You know, it's a very important part of the scripture. We're going to read in John 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 10. And we're going to kind of go back through there a little bit throughout the message here. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, this is my favorite part when people come to Jesus. You know, he come to him by night, and he's seeking something. And if you look, he didn't even ask Jesus a question, but God's going to answer his question before he even gets a chance to ask it. You know, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? You know, we're going to look into this a little bit, what God is saying here. You know, a lot of my life, I thought when you come to Christ, that's what he's talking about, is being born again. You know, we have this mental picture of when we come to Christ, we're a new creation and we've been born again. You know, and as you study this, you get a little bit of a different picture. You know, I want to kind of give us a mental picture of, I like to use analogies a lot, of what it's like coming to Christ. And I really have a mental picture of one day, years ago, I bought a brand new set of rollerblades. You know, I used to run quite a bit, and I had injured my foot, and I couldn't run, so I thought, you know, I'm going to use these rollerblades, I can do that instead of, and while this is healing up, And I was going every day, and I was rollerblading on the Munger Trail. And there was this one little trail that goes off to the side, and I'd look at it every day, and I'd never been down that way. And I'd just go past it, and I'd stay on what I knew. And then one day I decided, man, I got to see where this little trail goes. You know, it's paved and it's going off. So one morning I decided I'm going to go down this trail. And I started going down, and, you know, it starts going downhill. And I thought, well, that's great, because anytime you go downhill, you got to go back uphill, you know. So I just kind of rode it out. I didn't try to slow down, and, you know, because I'm lazy, I don't want to have to work hard going back up the hill on the other side. You know, but all of a sudden it just keeps going downhill and downhill. And, you know, as it's going, I'm getting crouched and crouched and crouched, and all of a sudden I'm going way faster than I'd like to be going, you know, and now all of a sudden I'm in like that downhill skier speed slalom, you know, I'm down low, and I realize it is way too late to hit the brakes. You know, them rollerblades got the little brake on the back, and you got to drag it, and I'm like, if I even move a muscle, I'm going to wipe out epically, you know, so I'm just waiting for something to happen, and I'm crouched. I mean, one little pebble, and it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be extreme. You know, and all of a sudden, I mean, I'm scared. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get myself out of this. I'm not really experienced in these rollerblades. But, I mean, I am tense, and I'm just flying. And all of a sudden, I see across the trail a car goes by. And another one, and another one. And I realized this trail is going to cross Highway 210 down in Jay Cook. And I'm doing about 35 miles an hour on these rollerblades. You know, and I decide, I'm in a panic. I'm like, I see myself flying out on this road and getting schmucked by a car. So, I mean, all that time up to there was indecision. But now I've realized if I don't do something now, there's going to be death ahead. You know, so I made up the decide that I'm just going to roll off the pavement into the grass, and hopefully that'll slow me down. And as soon as I hit that grass, I just tumbled head over head over head into the trees, smashed myself all up, and I just laid there hurting. You know, I took those rollerblades off. They got grass wound all in the wheels. I walked 2.5 miles back to my car. I threw them in the trunk, and to this day, I've never had them back on again. You know what I mean? And that's sometimes the mental picture that we have of coming to Christ. You know, we have this picture of we got off on the wrong trail, things got out of a little control, and we see death at the end, and we decide to make a change. You know, that's the mental picture I have of coming to Christ. You know, that, and that's probably fair for most people, is I could tell you honestly, if you came to Christ early, if I'd have seen that downhill and hit the little brakes on the rollerblade, I wouldn't have had to have the mess that I had. But by the time, you know, you pick up enough speed, there ain't no stopping. It's going to hurt one way or the other. You know, and that's a lot of the way it is for the people that are in the world. They don't make a decision to do something until they can see death right ahead of them. And then they're going to make a decision. And it's going to hurt to get off all that momentum and everything else. But when, as we have that mental picture, you know, that's kind of what I thought about when God was talking about that I come to Christ, I got off this path, and now I'm born again. But that's really, when you study what's going on here, that's not what God is talking about. The first thing is, who are we talking, who is he talking to? He's talking to a man, Nicodemus. And who is Nicodemus? He's a man of the Pharisees. You know, and the Pharisees got a bad rap in the Bible because God's always talking to them and they weren't ready for change. But these were men of God. You know, to be a Pharisee, there was rules that you had to follow. I mean, one of them, I know it's just a small thing because we all have it, but they had to memorize the first 4 books of the Bible, committed to memory. Just a small task. You know, they had to fast twice a week, probably twice a week more than most of us. You know what I mean? There was rules that they were following. These were guys that already made a decision to follow God. You know, so this was a man of God, and he recognized that something was lacking in his life, and it drew him to Jesus. You know what I mean? It drew him because what he's read and what he studied, he's seen something in God or in Jesus in his life that he didn't have. You know, and as God is saying, you must be born again, he's talking to you and I. He's not talking to the world, but he's talking to us as believers that to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. You know, and today I want to examine our hearts. You know, that's what Nicodemus was doing, is he was examining himself. And he found something lacking. You know, the Bible talks to us a lot about examining our own heart. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. It says, test yourself to see that you are in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not know, recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you failed the test. You know, so God is telling us all the time to examine our own hearts and our own minds to see that we're in the will of God. And something as important as he's saying we can't enter into the kingdom of God unless we've been born again, we need to spend a little bit of time looking at what he's talking about. And we're going to go over four steps today of steps or signs that I think it is of being born again. You know, the number one thing I think is trusting God. You know, what does trusting God look like? You know, if you looked at Nicodemus, what does it say up there? It says he came to him by night. You know what I mean? He recognized that there's something there, but I don't trust enough to approach him in the open. I'm going to approach him in the night when nobody can see me. You know, we've got to trust God that God has our back. You know, and what does that look like as a Christian? What it looks like, I've told this story before, but I love to tell it because it's the best example I can think of what trust looks like. You know, when we were in India, my girls, they were little and they'd be often playing outside. And I heard them the one afternoon, I hear from outside this cry for help, help, help. And then you could start to hear panic in their voice, help! You know, things were getting more desperate. And I go out there and both the girls had climbed up a tree. And they climbed up, but they couldn't climb back down. And they were starting to get weary and trying to figure out, and the muscles are getting tired. And I look up to them. There's no way I can get them up there. I got no ladder. I'm too fat to climb the tree. It'll probably come down on me. You know, so I yell up at my oldest daughter, Brooke, and I says, jump and I'll catch you. And she's, not a chance. She ain't listening to me. She has no faith in Dad. She wouldn't do it. I had to yell at her several times, jump, and I'll catch you. And she wouldn't do it. And finally, out of fear of her father, she just kind of lets go and falls out of the tree. And I caught her and set her down, you know, and you're comforting her, making sure she's okay. And, you know, she's just went through something completely traumatic. You know what I mean? Tears are rolling down. Your body's shaking. It was an awful experience for her to finally trust in Dad. And then so I set her down, and I look back up to the tree, and I'm going to yell to Jaina to jump. And I look, and she's already in mid-flight doing this swan dive. You know, and I barely could catch her before she caught down. And she comes down with a smile from ear to ear, and she's like, woohoo, let's do it again. You know what I mean? She had faith that her dad was going to catch her, probably because he's seen me catch the other one. But whatever it is, the experience for the two of them were completely different. You know what I mean? One was just misery and sorrow, and one was happiness and joy. You know, trusting in God can be both ways. If you're following God because you fear death or you fear what the world, what things might come to you, that's going to be misery and sorrow in your life. You know, there is no happiness in following God out of fear. And I guarantee you it won't last. You know, but when we have true faith in God, you know, it can be a joy. It can be a joy to follow Christ when we have that real faith that God has our best interests. You know, it talks in the scriptures that, you know, he cares for a swallow out in the woods. You know, he cares for all these little animals. How much more does he care for us that he died for? But yet a lot of the times we don't trust in God. You know, and that brings us to the second point here. You know, I think this is probably one of the biggest failings that we have in modern society today. To truly be born again, we have to die to ourselves. You know, we don't have that concept. So we have that concept of like that rollerblading. I was sitting there on the ground, laying there in pain, and you know, I decided that You know, this was not the way. And sometimes that's where we come to Christ. You know, we get to that point where we've made a decision that I'm not going down this path of death anymore. You know, we have this mental picture that, you know, how many have you a mental picture of when God's talking about, you know, grand is the way that many will follow, but narrow is the path and few. You know, so we got many and we got few. And we always have this mental picture of, you know, there's two different paths, going one going this way and one going that way, kind of like my rollerblading. I knew this path and it was wide and straight and flat, and this one almost led to death. And we kind of have that mental picture, but truly there is only one path. You know, this path of life, it's either you're born going in this direction. It says you're born into sin, you're born craving the things of the world, and you're going that way whether you're actively seeking it or not. And when we come to Christ, we don't go in a different path. We turn around and we go in the different direction. Because this direction is death, and this direction is life in Christ Jesus. So there's truly only one path. But which way are we facing? You know, when a lot of us come to Christ, what I see nowadays is someone comes to Christ, and we begin what I call a hostage negotiation tactic. You know, how many seen that in a movie? You got a guy tried to rob a bank, try to get things, and now he's got hostages in there. And you got to bring out the hostage negotiator. You know, that's kind of what we do when we come to Christ. A lot of modern Christians, I want what I want, and let's see what I can get out of this. You know, when we start negotiating with Christ. You know, I've worked in a prison on like a SWAT team, and we often have to negotiate people with people. So we've had some training. They call it verbal defense and influence. You know, when they train you how to talk to people and try to make them do what they don't want to do. You know, and the number one rule is never just say no right out. You know, if somebody asks for something, you can't just say no. You know he's not going to get it, but you don't just say no to his face because that'll set him off. You say, let me check on that for you. Or, you know, I'll go talk to my supervisors. We'll see what we can do. But never just tell him no because it'll hurt him and it'll work him up. And that's the modern Christian today. Don't ever tell me no. You know what I mean? That's what they're telling to God. I'll do this, but don't tell me no. I'm going to try to get what I want. And, you know, we enter this negotiation that, you know what, I'm going to give up the drinking and the drugs because I know that brings to death. But, you know, the smoking and the porn, I'm not ready quite yet to give that up. Kind of like that guy in the bank holding hostage. I'll give you one or two. You give me a car to the airport. And we try to negotiate our life with God. And there's... How many have seen a movie like that with the hostage negotiator? What happens in the end? You know, what happens in the end? Either you surrender and you get taken into custody or you die. There's no difference in our Christian life. You're going to negotiate. Either you're going to surrender to God or you're going to die. There's no in between. But today we've not grabbed a hold of that. You know, we've grabbed a hold of this grace will cover all these sins and this and that. And God is not looking for part of your life. You know, God is looking for us to come to a revelation that my life without Christ is worthless. There's nothing within me that is worth keeping that would hold me from Christ. Surrender all. That's what God is looking to. And that's what I believe what he's talking to Nicodemus here. You know, what he's saying is being born of the Spirit. You know, there's something that happens within us that changes the very nature of who we are. You know what I mean? When I say we're being born into a world going in this direction, it's almost like a magnet. You know, we have a magnet to sin within our life. You know, no matter what it is, we're drawn to, just like that magnet will pull things close or to pull itself close to something, you know, and that's how our life is. We're pulled and we're drawn to sin. You know, and there's nothing we can do to change that nature within us. And the sooner we stop negotiating with God and saying, you know what, I need a change. There's nothing within my life that I can do. When I've come to the realization that I cannot be holy, I cannot achieve happiness. I cannot achieve things in my life that I want to. I'm going to lay my life down at the feet of God. Something happens within us. You know, it changes the very nature. It's like God reaches in and he changes the magnetic pole within our heart. That I might not be a perfect being, but I'm no longer going this direction. I'm no longer drawn to this sin, but I'm repelled by it, and I'm going in this direction. You know, in modern society, we've lost this completely, this concept of being born again. You know, and also in that scripture, you look at it, and it's, you know, it's talking about, you know, being born of water. We think that maybe that was baptism or other things, but that's not what God is talking about. When he's talking about being born of water, he's talking still about a natural birth. You know, when you give birth, your water breaks and birth comes. Because later on in there, he also says, what's born of flesh is flesh, and what's born of spirit is spirit. He's looking for us to be born into a spiritual realm, and it's impossible for us to do that carrying baggage. But so many people are not willing to lay down everything. I mean, that's what God is calling for us to do, is to lay down our entire life, and something supernatural is going to happen within our life. You know, something changes. Let's look in Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You know, what is healing to your body and refreshment to your bones look like? You know what I mean? When I say that, you know, when we lay everything down, we become a steward of our own life. You know what I mean? I'm still living this life, but like what the scripture says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. You know, when we can truly grab a hold of that and we experience this born-again experience, something happens that really lightens your life. You know, I can think of, I used to deliver stuff in Duluth. I used to drive all the time. And I would be on my way to work on some snowy or icy day, and you're driving to work just white-knuckled. You know, I got about a 50-minute drive to work, and the whole way there, you know, you can't even hardly sit on the backrest of the chair. Your hands are just tense. By the time you get to work, you're almost tired because it took something out of you because you're stressed out the whole way there. But now all of a sudden, I'd get to work, and I'd jump into another vehicle, and I'd be completely relaxed. I'm drinking my coffee, I'm listening to the radio, and I'm driving for 8 hours a day without a care in the world, even though the roads are getting snowier and worse, because I didn't have a care in the world. Because on my way to work, I was driving my car. You know what I mean? If I go in the ditch, I got to pay for the tow truck. I got to pay to fix the car. I'm going to be late for work. There's a lot of consequences for me, so I'm stressed out. But as soon as I get to work and I'm driving somebody else's vehicle, not a care in the world. If I crash that one, it's somebody else's problem, not mine. You know, and there's a whole difference there that I don't have to stress. And when we turn our life over to God, it's the same way. We do not have to stress over what's happening. You know, we are a steward of our life. And in the earlier scripture, it says, the wind blows in which... Where are we? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it's coming from or where it's going. You know, this is being born in the Spirit. God's will is coming. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. But I'm going to sail that wind wherever it's going. And he'll care for me. You know, that is refreshment to the bones. If we can truly grab a hold of that, that God takes care of his own. You know, I was talking to one of our young sisters. She was talking about maybe joining the military to go to schooling. I said, be careful before you sign that line, because once you sign that line, they own you. You know what I mean? You're still a person, but they own you, and there's consequences. You have to go. You have to show up, but as soon as you sign that line, they will care for you. They will house you. They will feed you. They will take care of your medical. They will take care of every aspect of your life, but you belong to them. You know, if we get that concept of being in Christ's army, that I sign the line, I am no longer responsible, but I am his property, that's being a steward of our life, and that's being part of being born again. And that brings me to the last one, that the most open sign that concerns me when I don't see people talking about being born again, because I wonder if they've truly experienced that. You know, because just like Nicodemus, it's completely possible to be religious but not experience being born again, not to have that supernatural contact with God. It's completely possible to go your entire life without being born again. So when I don't hear people talk about being born again, it makes me question whether they've ever experienced that within their life, that surrender, that experience of the supernatural shift within their life. And one of the most outward areas that you can look and see is, let's look in Ephesians 4, 12 and 15. Ephesians 4, and we're going to read 12 through 15. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the faithfulness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about on every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by the craftiness, deceitful schemes, but speak the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even until Christ. You know, what I don't see in a lot of Christianity today is growth. You know, you see someone that's for years struggling with the same thing. Hey, boy, come on up here. You know, there once was a time when a Titus could fit in the palm of my hand. You know, after he was born, he just fit right in the palm of my hand. I could carry him wherever I wanted him to go. And even after he grew up a little bit, you know, I could grab him by the back of his overalls and lift him up, and I could take him wherever I wanted him to go. But now, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to push him around and make him do what I want him to do. I can still take him, though. It's going to cost me more. But he's not easily moved. Thanks, bud. You know, he's not easily moved. He's grown and he's matured. And there'll be a day where he probably comes to me and takes me by the hand and takes me where I don't want to go. You know, and that's the natural process of life. Being born again, there should be growth. There should be maturity, that you're growing and not struggling with the same little things. You know, 10 years ago, he couldn't carry nothing. We'd go camping, he couldn't hardly carry his own sleeping bag. You know, now he can carry the canoe, he can split firewood. He's becoming useful and he's becoming, you know, sure of himself. And as a Christian, we're supposed to be doing the same. You know, we're supposed to have that growth, because I think one of the biggest signs of being born again is Nicodemus got it. He says, how can a man enter in once he's already born? You know, and I think it's impossible. Titus cannot enter back into his mother because he's twice her size and be born again. You know, the most outward sign of being born again is that there's no turning back. You know, once you've had that experience of being born again, something changed in you. You know, if you look at Steve, he's had religious experiences probably most of his life. But he had a born-again experience at a point in his life, and if you watch him, there's no going back. You know what I mean? The way he speaks, what he's looking for, what he's attracted to, everything has changed within his life because he had this born-again experience, and there's no going back. I want to ask today, have we truly had that born-again experience? Are we growing and maturing? Are we stewards of our own life? Or are we stuck in that hostage negotiation tactic with God where, you know, I'll give you this, but I don't want to give you that? You know, we know, from the outside looking in that that leads to death. But when it comes to us, it's hard to surrender. But when we surrender, you're going to experience something you've never experienced in your life, and there's no going back. Amen? Let's pray today. Lord, we just look to you. We just ask that you would have your hand upon our life, Lord. And if there's things that we're to lay down, Lord, if there's things that we're holding back from you, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal those things within our life, Lord, that we would be able to surrender and you would give us the strength, Lord. We know that in our hearts we're corrupted and we need a change from you, Lord. We just pray right now, Lord, that we would all experience that born-again experience. In Jesus' name, amen.